was talking to this young guy. He goes, "I don't know who your God is, but my God, his name is God." And I'm like, I mean, there is nothing. You can't come back from that. That's like, you God can be whatever his name is, but my God's name is God. So it's like, there is no, you can't come back from that. Yeah, what are you going to say? Okay. Oh, yeah. If there's any kiddos, they don't have to listen to the boring adult stuff. It won't be boring when you get older, kids, I promise. You'll think, man, this is amazing. I should have been sitting out here the whole time. All right. I'm going to be reading in Jude today, the longest book in the Bible. You guys know that's not true. It's the shortest book in the Bible. It's only got one chapter. It comes right before Revelation. So Jude, it's funny, it calls Jude the brother of James, and you look up, well, who's James? And you go, well, James the brother of Jesus. So it's, why wouldn't they say just Jude the brother of Jesus? It's like, come on, you guys are getting confusing. I learned something about James the other day that I did not know, because I love the book of James. James, we know, was Jesus' brother. He was not a follower of Jesus until Jesus resurrected from the dead. I did not know that. I was like, wow. And that would be pretty, you saw your brother die on a cross, and you're like, yep, you didn't do it. And then he came back 3 days later, you're like, yep, I guess you're God. You'd definitely be convinced. And then he wrote the book of James. And what's interesting about the book of James is, if you read it wrong, it's very legalistic. And man, it could beat you up. But if you read it, that's why you can't read the Bible, you can't read any particular book on its own. You have to read it with every other book. And if you read the book of James with the writings of Paul, then you see it's not a work, it's a promise, it's a gift. It's just like what Holly was saying. When you have a relationship, it just happens. You know, your works just happen. The works just happen. And that's what's fun. What's fun when you are in relationship with God and you do things, you're like, well, that wasn't me. That was definitely God. God loves me. He's in me to will and to do. And I love him. And I'm just doing that because I love him. When you do something and you don't expect anything from it, you don't expect to be thanked. You know, when I do things, I don't expect to be thanked. I don't expect to have anything given to me. It's just, I do it because God put it on my heart to do. God is my reward. What do I need anything else for? It's like, it's hallelujah. And that just, it's fun. It's fun when you see God working through you that way. You're like, woohoo, I'm dying to myself, which is what we're trying to do. We want to die to ourselves because ourselves are selfish. We can find any number of dumb things to do to not spend time with God. You know, excuse me, I still got some of that junk. Hallelujah. It won't go away. I need to go to that meeting that Nathan and his family went to. It's legalism is tough because it seems right, and there are lots of churches that are into legalism, and there's lots of churches that are floozies and into licentiousness. And you're like, wow, how can you? We all have the same Bible. How are you guys not reading this? And it's because they have bad teaching. You know, I mean, legalism, it sounds right. Do good. And you're like, okay, I'm going to do good. But then you go, I can't. I keep messing up. It's because you're doing it in your own strength. And the Bible says, I am in you to will and to do. I say that one a lot because that is so important to remember that always. That's why you hide the word in your heart that you don't sin against God. Well, it's just because Jesus is in us to will and to do. The Holy Spirit has been, Jesus said, hey, I got to go so that I can send another part of me. I got to send the Holy Spirit down. He's going to comfort you. He's going to give you wisdom. He's going to be a conduit so that we can talk every day. You know, he's our cell phone service between God. You know, it's fun. In the old days, you couldn't talk to God directly. You had to go to the high priest and say, hey, can you talk to God for me? But now we can talk directly to God. Remember, Matt Gabby has this little book, and it's called The Cross. It was Creation, the Curtain, and the Cross, I think is what it's called. And it's that curtain. It was that curtain that was in the temple. And in the book it says, the curtain is a no-go zone. It's like you're not allowed to come in here. And then when Jesus died, that curtain got ripped. I don't know. I mean, that curtain was taller than this room, and it was so thick. A man could not have ripped it, and it got ripped from the top to the bottom. So obviously it wasn't man, because man can't do that. And God was saying, hey, when I created the garden, I wanted Adam and Eve. I mean, God, you remember when Adam and Eve were in the garden, God was walking with them physically. He was physically walking with Adam and Eve because they hadn't sinned yet. God can't be around sin. So that he was physically, and that's what he wants. He wants us to physically walk with him and talk with him and spend time with him. I can't even imagine. It's going to be amazing when we're in heaven and we get to spend time with God every day. I'm like, do we have to take turns? I mean, I don't know how that's going to work, because there's going to be a lot of us up there. I hope there's innumerable amounts of us up there. I want everybody to go. So we have to be careful because Satan will take what God has done and he'll pervert it just a little bit so that it still seems like God, but it's not. And that's what legalism is, and that's what licentiousness is. I mean, people can be licentious in Christian, you know, love is love. We just have to love everybody just the way they are. And yeah, and then you're loving them right to hell. That person, that's not love. The Bible says, speak the truth in love, which is, hey, I love you so much that I'm willing for you to hate me so that I can tell you about my Jesus. I'm okay that you hate me as long as I know you go to heaven. That's love. Letting someone burn in hell for eternity, that is not love. That's fear. You're afraid of someone being mad at you, or you're afraid of your reputation, you're afraid of whatever. The cool thing about is when you're a servant of God, God takes care of all that. You don't worry about your reputation. You don't worry about what you eat and what you drink and what all that kind of stuff. God said, I'll take care of that. You just do what I have for you to do. And the first thing is to get dead to yourself. And the cool thing is he promised he'd do that. So again, people will do a work. Well, I have to die to myself. How do I do that? There's no way. You can't do it. Because you don't. No one wants to die. I mean, it's not built into you to want to die. You want to live. I mean, kids especially, man, they want to live forever. They want to try everything, do everything, figure it all out. It's like, and you get older, you're like, man, that was dumb. You're like, I just want to, you know, when I was young, I was like, man, I want to live in a giant house and drive a nice car and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, I just want a place to lay my head and eat some meals and take a shower. I'm happy with that. All the other stuff, it's too much work. That's what the gospel could be if you had to do it as a work. It's just too much work. You can't do it. So that's why God said, hey, I'm doing it in you. And you're like, woohoo! You said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. So he completes it and gives it to us to do. Here, do this. You're like, but it's already done. And he's like, exactly. And you're like, thank you, Jesus. And then you get credit for it. Look what I did. You didn't do anything. It's like a parent. When a parent is doing something and the child will go, look what I did. And you're like, you didn't do anything. I did all of it. But it's okay. I let her have some of the credit. Yeah, look what Gabby did. Isn't that awesome? She didn't do anything. She probably made it harder. We do that. When we help God out, we always make it harder. God was like, you know, if you'd done it my way, you could have had this done 2 months ago. So anyway. All right, I'm gonna go to the Epistle of Jude. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. We should say that. Hey, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. That's awesome. It's an interesting thing in life is where people always say, well, I want to be happy. It's like happy is fleeting. You want to be joyful, because you can be joyful in any circumstance. Happiness is based on what's going on. You know, if things are going wrong, it's hard to be happy. Man, it's miserable. It's like, but things go wrong, and you're like, man, I still have the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. It's like, man, things are falling apart. They tried to assassinate our next president. I'm saying that prophetically, whether or not it's true or not. Jesus told me years ago, it was going to be Trump, Biden, Trump. So we'll see whether I hear God or not. So you guys can hold me to that. Don't stone me, please. If I'm wrong, don't stone me. Actually, we're not in the Old Testament anymore, so that doesn't matter. But it's good. God knows what he's doing. We should just be enjoying life, seeing and spending time with him, seeing what he wants for us to do instead of worrying about all the other stuff that he hasn't given us to worry about. When you're worrying about things that aren't under your control, that's a waste of time. I know so many people that do that. They're like, well, I can't take care of this. We're like, yeah, you can. It doesn't matter. In James it says, you can't add 1 minute to your life by worrying. I think it says it somewhere else too. I think it may be in Matthew as well. You cannot add 1 minute to your life by worrying. So it's like it's saying, hey, stop worrying. Just give it to God. If I can't control it, I just immediately give it to God. God, this is something I can't control. I can't control how this person reacts. I can't, you know, I mean, like you think, well, how do we, you know, there's people that are always like, they're like, well, we need to all get together and, this, and make this happen. And you're like, there's no way. There's too many people and this country is too big. It can only be God. But you know, like when Comey was in charge in Africa, I don't remember where, what country it was, Zimbabwe or Zaire, one of those countries. Evil man, evil. And this little lady, God came to her and said, hey, I want you to pray for that man. And so she got her and a couple of her friends, and they started praying for Comey. And he lost all of his power because, you know, he was into witchcraft. And he lost it, and he just started falling apart. And he could, it was like, that was God. Just her and a couple of people praying. Hey, praying for the man. And I don't know what they prayed. I always want to know. I mean, Lord, do you pray that he's blessed? Do you pray that he dies? You know, I don't know. I'd like to ask that lady, what'd you pray? How did you pray? But, you know, the easy answer is you go ask God, God, how do I pray for this person? And it's awesome because he'll excuse me, he'll answer that prayer. He's interested in you. I mean, it's the Bible says in the world you're going to have trouble, but count it all joy. I've overcome the world. I love that verse because we have lots of trouble in this world, and it seems ridiculous. You're like, oh, but and then you got to remember, oh, yeah, but God's already overcame it. Wherever those that believed were, like when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were in the, you know, in captivity, and they said, we're going to follow God no matter what. No matter what, we're following God. And the guy said, well, I'm going to put you in the furnace. I like you guys. You know, you guys are smart. You know, you eat your vegetables, and that was good. But you got to follow them. I have these laws, and you're breaking them, so I got to put you in the fiery furnace. They said, go ahead. We're not changing our mind. God is God, and you're not God. And so they went into the furnace, and hallelujah, you know, didn't get burned up. I don't know. Did I say that a couple weeks ago? I love that story. I wrote a play on it. One of these days, we're going to have enough kids to do that. Fiery furnace play. We're not going to set the church on fire. It's going to be a tricky one. So, but they were, you know, it's amazing. That's the way it is. When Brother Andrew has so many stories like that. Just things, you know, he's in China smuggling Bibles in, and there's so many times he should have been caught, but he wasn't. God closed the eyes of people. They didn't see this. He had Bibles, and God said, take the Bibles and put them in the back seat, just out in the open. He's like, God, they're going to catch me. He's like, do it. He's like, okay. Took all the Bibles, put them right in the back seat. Guy looks in the back seat, says, yeah, you can go on through. I mean, that's God. We need to expect God to be like that. When God tells us to do something, we need to expect that he's going to come through. All right. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. So he's talking about people who are, he says, we need to get back to the basics, and there's people out there that are teaching apostasy. For there are certain men crept in unawares who are before the old ordained of the condemnation, ungodly men, turned the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. That's like, you know, you can point out the real obvious ones, churches that are like that, you know, like the Unitarian Church. They're just, again, they're love. Love is love. You know, be a Buddhist, whatever. You can all get to heaven. It's like, no, that's not love. And but they're not even the ones that, they're not even the ones that this is talking about. That's an obvious one. They're talking about churches where they look like Christ. They sound like Christ. But when you see, we were talking to Gabby this morning. We were talking about the current president. And because she's like, well, does he love Jesus? And we said, well, he says he loves Jesus, but his actions say otherwise. So we don't know. We don't know his heart. We can't judge his heart. Only God can judge his heart. But his actions speak very loudly. And we also said that, well, he doesn't seem to be in his right mind, so we don't know. So, but that's important because someone can say something on the outside, hey, I'm a Christian, I'm a Catholic, I'm a whatever. But then you watch what they do and you go, it's not really lining up. You're doing selfishness or you're doing this or causing that. And it's like, I don't judge them because I can be just as stupid or evil or wicked. If I'm not spending time with God and in the presence of God, I could easily fall back into my old sin nature. Because our old man, even though our old man is dead, he thinks he's not. It's like that old Monty Python thing, I'm not dead yet. You know, it's like the old man is pretending like he's not dead. But remember, you got saved, crucified. You're crucified with Christ. Your old man is dead. Sometimes he tries to peek back up, you know. It's like you got to remind him, hey, you're dead. You don't get to speak. It's the Spirit, your spirit in you that gets to speak, because your spirit is listening to God, is following God, is loving God, and your flesh is just following whatever makes it most comfortable. It's funny, I always think about things like that. Like, if the whole world fell apart, I think the things I would miss the most are hot water and toilet paper. I'm like, those are two things that I would really miss. It's like, I don't know why my mind thinks of dumb things like that, but it's like, what would I really want? If you know, if you give up Jesus, we'll give you some toilet paper. I won't do it. As much as I want the toilet paper, I will not give up Jesus. So, hallelujah. That was dumb. Sorry. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. That's good. I mean, that's a hard word. That sounds like, you know, that's like God's telling us to obey him. God gives us lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of chances. Even when they screwed up really bad, when they really messed up, and God was like, well, I'm going to have to destroy you now, and they go, I'm sorry, and God would go, okay, I forgive you. I mean, sometimes it didn't go well, like David's family line got messed up, you know, because of what he did, or Solomon, or, you know, every time, you know. But God forgave them. I forgive you. It doesn't mean you're not going to have consequences, but I forgive you. And it doesn't mean you're not going to heaven. Because, you know, someone can do something wrong and then go to jail, and the person that they did wrong against can forgive them. That doesn't mean they don't get the consequences of what they did. But that doesn't mean the person doesn't forgive them and doesn't love them. Every time someone breaks into my truck and steals my tools, I'm angry initially, and then I forgive them, and then I love them, and I pray for them. Lord, bless that person. Hopefully they got whatever they needed out of stealing all my tools. I'd rather that they find Jesus than me be mad at him for stealing my tools out of my truck. That's why I don't leave my tools in my truck anymore. So, but that's the way God thinks. He doesn't see the action. He sees the heart. Oh, that person is hurting or whatever. They need me. And so we're to be that salt and light. And I've said this before. I always wonder what the police think, because the police will show up and I'll be like, yeah, somebody broke into my truck. And I'm thinking, this guy's in a really good mood. Why is he in a good mood? His truck was just broken into. And I'm like, Jesus loves me. Why am I going to be upset? I mean, it's going to be a pain. Now I'm going to have to go to the insurance company and say, hey, can you cover a little of this, and I'll cover the rest, and I have to go buy everything again. And it's a pain. But God loves me. Last time it happened, I got newer, better tools than I had before. No, whatever. It doesn't matter. It's just stuff. You know, when I go to heaven, it's staying here. I won't need it. I'm going to have the best tools. I don't even know. I mean, down here it's Milwaukee. I don't know what Jesus has for tools up there. I bet he has some pretty awesome tools. I mean, it may be all AI-ish. You know, you just speak it and it happens. I would like to build a house. Wouldn't that be awesome? Kind of be too easy, though. I think God likes the challenge, you know. Anyway, I'll stop there. Go down some rabbit trails. And the angels which kept their first estate but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness in the judgment of that great day. So those are the angels that went with Satan. Remember they said, I don't know, I have no idea how a created being could think that he could overthrow the Creator, the Almighty God. But a third of heaven thought, hey, if we join the Satan guy, maybe we'll win. It's like, he created everything. How do you think you're going to beat the guy that can speak something out of thin air? But anyways, they did. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, and going after strange flesh, and set forth an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. So it's an example of what hell's going to be like. You remember that story, you know? Hey, God, if there's 20 people, well, maybe let's 10. How about just 5? If there's just 5 people in the city, God's like, yeah, there's just 5. I won't destroy it. And then Lot and his family had to get out of there. Because they just gave, I mean, I come in contact with these people. It's funny. Some guy posted a, it was neat. He found a rock, and he was chipping away at the rock, and there was a crab inside the rock. It was, you know, fossilized. And he said something about, you know, 90 million years ago or whatever. And all I did was say, no, actually it was 4,200 years ago or something like that. That was it. The thing had over 600 people commented at me, and over 1,500 people made an emotion, you know, like mad face or a thumbs down or whatever. I'm like, all I did was say, I mean, why are you guys, to me, it's funny, it's hilarious. It's like, I want these people to know. It's like, the sad thing is there are believers that believe in evolution, and you can't. You can't believe in evolution. There was no death before Adam and Eve sinned. And since there was no death before Adam and Eve sinned, then evolution doesn't work. Because there's millions and millions of years, and there's dead dinosaurs and dead whatever. It doesn't work. So the Bible literally meant 6 days. It's like you have to throw out Genesis 1 through 11 if you want to believe in evolution. You just have to just take those first 11 chapters and just throw them in the trash. Like, the Bible is 100% true, 100% accurate. And I'm not even going to get into it, because, you know, I love whatever that is where people prove stuff. I can't remember what you call it. Prove the Bible. I love watching those guys. It's fun. It's fun to see how their minds work. It's fun to see the people who are not believers, like the guy that wrote Case for Christ, Lee Strobel. He was trying to disprove God, and he ends up getting saved. You know, that guy led Evel Knievel to Christ? Evel Knievel said, if I could go back and do anything, it would have been to find Jesus earlier. It was good. It was good. He ended up, he was who he was, and we need to be who we are so that we can have the life that we do, so that we can be the witness that we have. If you don't go through what you do, if you don't go through, that's all like Kamala Harris. If you don't, you don't go through what you go through, you're not going to have something to tell somebody else. If your life is always good and easy and perfect, what kind of witness do you have? But if your life is hard and tough and then you're full of joy, man, what a witness that is. People don't understand that. How can you be so happy? Well, I got Jesus in me, and I don't need anything but that. That's it. Verse 8, likewise also the filthy dreamers defile the flesh and despise dominion and speak evil of dignities. That's interesting. They don't like authority. And it's funny because that was one thing I was reading, that there's a book called Spiritual Authority written, or it's actually a sermon by Watchman Nee called Spiritual Authority. And he talks about, you just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, we see that you're authority and we give you that, but God is our higher authority, so if you have to punish us, we'll accept the punishment. And so that's the way you do. You know, I see your presidential authority. You know, I see your governor authority, and I respect that, but I have to do what God tells me to do, so if you have to punish me, I'll accept that. See, most people would be like, well, no, he's wrong, and I shouldn't get a bit hurt for that. It's like, no. God puts up and takes down authorities. And if he wants to send you through the fiery furnace and you come out unscathed, that's up to him. But you have to just be willing to go, I'm under God's spiritual authority, and he has given me authority to do thus and so. I will do it, and whatever the consequences are, so be it. You know, people die for, you know, all the... Minus one, all the original, disciples were martyred. And they were glad to do it for the sake of Jesus, to pass on the gospel. I mean, when you see somebody that's willing to do that, there was I can't remember if I've told this story or not, there was a Muslim woman, and there was an Arab woman, and the man, she was captured, and they said, are you a Muslim or a Christian? And she said, I'm a Christian. And he said, do you want to change that? Because we're going to try you, and then we're going to put you to death. And she said, no, I'm a Christian, and I will not change that. And the man took her into another room, and he started questioning her. And that man ended up getting saved. Because she had so much, she's like, I'm not giving up on God. God is, he's my God, and I will go to the death. She knew she was going to be put to death. And not only was she not put to death, the guy that was questioning her got saved. But she was willing to die for God. A lot of people are not. They're not willing to go to the homeless shelter and be around stinky people all day. We got to be willing to do things that are uncomfortable for God. And that's not a work. It just comes because you love God, and you're just like, yeah, I'll do it. Because God loved me so much that he sent his only son down to earth to die for me. And then loved me enough that he raised himself from the dead, covered all my sins, just so that he could have a relationship with me. Anybody know what verse I'm on? 9, thank you. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. So even like David with Saul, people say, well, why don't you kill him? And David said, well, he was the Lord's anointed. I don't touch him. And Michael, the archangel, said, well, he could easily accuse the devil, but he doesn't, because the devil was an angel at one time. He had authority in heaven. And he said, I'm not accusing you, but God does. Because he was a servant of God, and said, God is coming against you. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts in those things they corrupt themselves. It's like people that spend too much time by themselves come up with all sorts of brilliant things, and they think all sorts of stuff. I had a good friend who said, well, I don't think God's going to send people to hell, because as a man, I wouldn't do that. I mean, that's nice and all, but you're not God. You didn't set it up. I don't understand everything that God does and why he does it. And I may disagree with some of it, but I'm not God. I don't understand his whole plan. I just know what he said. And I say, you're God. And I love you just the way you are. You have a purpose and a plan for that. I don't understand it, but so be it. And that guy loved Jesus. So he wasn't he wasn't running from God. He loved Jesus, but he thought, there's no way. It can't happen. It's like, well, it's all in the Bible. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of the core. So they're more interested, again, like I said, when you know you're a believer is when you do things and you don't care about the reward for it. That was with Cain. Cain was like, hey, I brought my best. What do you think, God? Whereas Abel just said, hey, here's a gift. You know, and Balaam was interested in the gold. I may have that wrong. Anyways. Is that Balaam? Who was Balaam? Try to remember Balaam. Don't quote me on that one. I'll have to get back to you on that. And these are the spots in your feasts of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about the winds, and trees with fruit without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. It's like it looks like there's substance there, but there's none, because they have the appearance of God, but when you dig into it, their roots are dead. They're just there for themselves. I say this. I have no idea why people are greedy and things like that. I don't understand that. I don't understand once you get $1 billion why you need $2 billion or $10 billion. I don't understand that. I don't understand that. But that's the only reason I don't understand that is because I have God in me. It says you don't need that. That's not going to make you happy. Because I know the little that I have does not make me happy. Having more is not going to make me happy. The only thing that makes me happy, the only thing that brings me joy is God. Only thing. Raging waves of the sea and foaming out of their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of in the darkness forever. And Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these things, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all. How would Enoch know? You know, he had to have a relationship with God. Because that was a long, 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 long time ago. But he knew. To execute the judgment upon all and the convenience of all that are ungodly among them, of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches and with ungodly sinners having spoken again. There's good at the end of this chapter, guys. It's not all horrible. I promise. It's good. It's just like a Psalm of David. Starts off horrible. God, why are they all attacking me? And then at the end he goes, God, you're God. I have a God and his name is God. These are murmurers, complainers, walking in their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. You ever know that? I always say, that's just the same thing. It's like if you do something and for your own advantage, that's not God. That's not of God. That's of your own flesh. You know, somebody say, well, that was good. He did a good thing. Yeah, but he did it for his own gain. He did it so you'd like him, so you'd, you know, speak good about him, so you know, whatever. That wasn't God. When you do things of God, it's just, you just do it, and you don't care about reward. But, beloved, remember, ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles to our Lord Jesus Christ. Howbeit they told you there should be mockers in the last time who would walk of their own ungodly lusts, and they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. So the Bible tells us we're going to have these people. It blows my mind. It's like I'm offering you a relationship with God, the Creator, Almighty, and you're more interested in mocking me, which I don't care, who cares, and denying God. It's funny. The people I come in contact with most are people who believe in evolution, and I always go, first of all, I don't believe in racism because I believe we're all one race. But I use their terminology. I go, well, you understand the guy that came up with evolution was a racist. No, it wasn't. I'm like, yes, he does. He was a racist. He hated people who had more melanin in their skin. He hated God. And you don't believe in racism, and yet the guy you follow was a severe racist. He said, you know, people with more melanin in their skin are less evolved. They are less beings. They are not. And God said, we're all equally unique and precious and amazing. God loves us, each and every one, the same, and no one is greater than any other. And it's like, how could you believe in a guy like that? And it's a religion. They'll go, what's a science? It's not a science, it's a religion. You can't come up with answers to any of the garbage you guys come up with. Well, it was billions of years. You have to use billions of years because you can't use any explanation. You can't come up with a right answer. And so you just say, well, eons of time where nobody was alive, and so nobody can go check it. It's what they call a historical science. You can't check it. Science is something that you can observe and repeat, and you can't observe it or repeat it. Evolution to me is very offensive, so I like to beat it up, throw it in the trash where it belongs. So they're going to be mockers. They mock God. And I'm not even angry at them. I tell them, I'm not mad at you. You've been indoctrinated with this garbage since you were a small child, and that's why you believe it. But if you just listen to me, your heart, which was created by God, will tell you the truth. If you listen to the words coming out of my mouth and I'm telling you, God loves you. God has a better way for you. Open your heart. Stop being so hard. You know, they always say, well, you're not, what is it? They always say, you're not open-minded. Like, obviously, you're not open-minded. I've searched it all. I've looked at everything. And it always points back to God. Everything points back to God. You can't take anything in this world and not point it back to God. It always does. There's only one explanation. Everything points back to God and His love for us. Here's the good part. But ye, beloved, building yourselves up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You guys praying in the Holy Ghost? It's good. Remember, He talks to us. He tells us, Father, what do I pray? And the Holy Ghost will tell you, here's what you pray. And it's what God wants. It's what God wants to do. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And some have compassion making a difference. Man, compassion is good. It's when you can see the most humanly wicked person and love that person, you know that Jesus is in you. Because as a human, you should hate that person, despise that person, want the worst for that person. And you look at him and you go, man, I wish you knew God the way I knew God. You'd be so set free. And the others save with fear. So I've said this before. This is so fascinating to me. I love this. And the others are saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire and hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. So some people, you go at them gently. And some people, you go at them with the fear of God. You know, like those guys that stand in the corner and, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You know, that would not work for me. I'd be like, whatever. But some people need that. Some people need that. They need to be scared into heaven, you know, because they're just going about their way. But most people need compassion. But some people, compassion won't work at all. They just keep doing their own thing. That's why you got to ask God, God, how do I witness to this person? Do I give them a hard word or do I give them a soft word? And now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling to the present, you faultless before the presence of His glory and with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. It's good. He created everything. He created everybody. He knew you from before. He knew you before the foundation of the earth. Before he created the earth, he already knew that you were going to be born, and he already had a purpose for your life. That's incredible. How could he do that? Because he's God. How could a guy that could do that? I mean, that's I was saying, how could he get all the animals in the ark? I mean, it's like, man, you don't understand who God is. So, it's good. Remember, there's a fine line between legalism and licentiousness, and it's right down the center, and it's just by keeping your eyes on God. Because we could easily become legalistic, saying, well, I got to do good work for God, or become licentious, going, I don't have it in me to do what God wants, so I'm just going to go do whatever. But by beholding him, we remember who we are. I always go, God, why would you use me? I'm lazy and I waste time and he goes, because you're willing. And I'm like, okay, I'm not a scholar like my dad. Yeah, but you're willing. Okay. He said, that's all I need. I just need you to be willing. I'm like, all right, I'll be a fool for you. I'll be a Jesus freak, as DC Talk would say. It's okay. Just be able to be an idiot for God. Let God use you in crazy ways. Ways that don't make sense. That defy reality. Because God's reality is not our reality. We're stuck here on this earth and we think in terms of this, and God's like, my ways are not your ways. I created everything out of nothing. So, it's good. I hope you guys were blessed today. You don't have to say anything. I was not looking for a compliment. I want you guys to know, to understand who God is and his desire for you. The distractions of this world are here, and they're everywhere, and they can get us to forget who God is, and that's what the devil does. The more mature you become, the more dead you become, the more subtle his lies are. Because he has to, because you understand who God is, and so he has to get trickier about it. And that's why when you spend time with God, you easily point it out. You go, that's a lie. That's a lie from the devil. Take every thought captive. If it doesn't agree with the Bible, you kill it. So, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today, this day. Every day is a new day, but you are the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. We can rely on that. You're not like Allah, who is willy-nilly, does what he wants. You are the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And what you say stands, and you will never go back on your word. Thank you for everyone that is here. Thank you for their hearts to know you. Thank you for their desire to do your will. Bless them as they go out throughout their day and through their week. Let all the words that come out of their mouth be edifying to one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Monty, can you...